Well, it's great to be back after a few weeks of just relaxing, doing nothing. Just leaving it in the capable of hands of everybody. Didn't Joshua and the team do really well last couple of weeks? They're really good. We're going to let them go to Brazil. We're going to let them have a holiday. Is that okay? Well, Josh and Luma, not the rest of the worship team. And good old Chris is going to be leading for the next 3 weeks. And so get behind him and pray for him. Get behind him. We've got a great Oasis family. If you're joining today and visiting us, it's great to see you. We're really pleased that you're part of us. And those of you who've joined in the last few weeks, last few months, is great too. So before Christmas, we looked at Let's Build Stronger. Do you remember that? We looked at Nehemiah, the story of Nehemiah. We looked at the first six chapters of Nehemiah, and you can catch up those in the live stream or on YouTube. We have a bit of a technical problem on Church Online, but I think it's working on YouTube right now. But there, remember, there were three words that we talked about last time. Can anybody remember what those three words were? Well, first word is stronger. Second word is better. Third word is together. 2022, stronger, better, together. We looked at a man called Nehemiah, an amazing man who had to get on his knees, fall before God, pray. God placed something on his heart which seems impossible, but he prayed about it. He prayed about it for over 100 and something days. I can't remember now. Many, many days he prayed. He sought God on the floor. He went out and went to the king. He asked the king's permission, and he gets the king's blessing. He goes to a place that is completely broken down. It was in ruins. The people have no hope. They've got nothing. And this man arrives with the blessing of the king, but also with the blessing of the King of Kings, with God. God had a plan and a purpose. In 52 days, despite all circumstances, despite all opposition, this man finishes building the walls with the help of the people, and he hangs the gate. And that's where we finished last time. He hung the gates. The walls are built. The people are safe. But that's not the only reason he came back to Jerusalem. There was a much bigger reason for him to come. It wasn't just about building the walls and having a safe place to live. It wasn't just a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing that he's come to do. He's going to spend 12 years enabling the people, building the people up for the move that God wants to do with the people. There's something God has that this man is going to facilitate with the help of other people, and it's going to bring revival to a nation. It's going to bring reformation to a nation, not just for that nation, not just for that generation, but what happens in these next 12 years will touch four generations till the time of Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus comes, there are people that are full of faith, full of belief that the Messiah is going to come. And he's preparing people for something that God is going to do. He's not going to do it on his own. He's going to do it with others. And today we're going to look at some comparisons of Nehemiah we looked today with where we are in our church together. Is that okay? And we're going to see what God is doing amongst us and hopefully look at what God is wanting to do. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 1 to 2. Then it was when the wall was built that I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, the Levites had been appointed, that I gave charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man, a man of integrity, who feared God more than men, most men do. Nehemiah now has to choose men, faithful men, who will continue the work. He has to have people alongside him for the next 12 years who will build the work. Faithful men, men of integrity, men that feared God more than most. He will not be able to do this over the next 12 years without such people. He's done everything he can do. Now he needs others to join him and help him build the vision, build the plan. At Oasis Christian Centre, we need people of faith. Faithful people that will continue to build and to help us build the vision here. Does that make sense? Now, this church has been really blessed over the years. Since 1976, we've had people that have sacrificially, faithfully served in this church. Even though there have been difficult times, they've continued to serve God. We have what we have today because of faithful people. And I want to honour today, on record, all those people that sacrificially gave of their time, their energy and their finances to have what we have today. And we honour them. And some of you are here today. In fact, there are some people on the leadership team here that have been here on the leadership for 22 years this year. I'm going to ask the leadership team to stand in a minute. Because we have a whole group of faithful people that we've added to this year, and we hope to add again somebody else to the team fairly shortly, and hope to be able to announce that to you very shortly. But all the people that are on the leadership team now, would you just stand in this room that are on this church session? Could you stand for me right now? I'd like to honour them today. There's John Hill, who's at home. John's hopefully on the camera and he's listening to us today. So we have Diane at the back. Diane has been on the session for 22 years this year. Pam has, John Hill has. Sandra's come on the last year. Asher came on last year. Jane has just come on this year. Andrew's come on this year. Jane for prayer, Andrew for the campus in Bromsgrove. Jerry's been an elder since Noah. Jerry will be re-standing, and if you're a member, you'll be able to vote for Jerry in 2 weeks' time. And there is John as well. There's Joshua, Pastor, and Luma leading worship. These are guys that have faithfully served this church and will do. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to have a look at them now, and I want you to start praying for them every day. I want you to make a note of their names. I want you to start praying into them and to the lives of their families. Because as we move forward, we are going to need your prayers. Asher, if you could just wave Asher so everybody knows who Asher is. Asher will, from very shortly now, as a volunteer, will head up the children's ministry here. We've been looking for a children's worker for a while. Asher will be doing that. We want to thank Ruth and Jean for their excellent... In fact, let's give them a round of applause for all that they have done. We'll honour them today. And Asher and Nancy will be moving forward with Live Wires, with families, with children's work here. And so you have a group of people that are faithful, people of integrity, that fear God and love God. Pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for me. We need it. More than ever, we cover your prayers. Does that make sense? Leadership team, I want to give. Can you give them all of a round of applause one more time? Thank you. Please take your seats. So today, we have people that are faithful, that will help us build on what we have. We are not going to sit back and just let the world go by. This church is not doing that. Anybody that knows me knows I will not sit back and just twiddle our fingers and see what happens. We have a plan, we have a vision, and we're moving forward with that. And we're going to press into that this year, and we're going to see what God does in this place. So Nehemiah's objective was not to just to build the walls, it was to rebuild a nation that would affect generations. Ours is to see the kingdom of God break in and break through our town and into our nation, and that this church will impact generations of people to come until the Lord Jesus returns. Amen. Do you know what amen means? Anybody know what amen means? So be it. What else does it mean? It means I'm in agreement with you. I'm in agreement with you. Let it be. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, together, use the word together. Together, Ezra and Nehemiah helped the nation move forward physically and spiritually. They laid foundations that would continue to impact for four generations up to the time of Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 7, Nehemiah needed to financially provide for the temple. He needed Levites and priests to be able to minister to the people. He needed not only just people to give of their time, of their energy and finances, which is what Oasis need. We need your time. We need your energy. We need your finances to help us in this. I'm not ashamed to ask you that. But he had to make provision for the temple. So in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 70, and some of the heads of the father's house gave to the work. The governor gave to the treasury 1,000 gold drachmas, 50 basins, 530 priestly garments. Some of the heads of the father's houses gave the treasury of the work of 20,000 gold drachmas and 2,200 silver miners. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 gold drachmas, 2,000 silver miners, and 67 priestly garments. That's great, isn't it? Wonderful. Lovely. What does that mean? £2.5 million. In today's terms, they gave what they had very generously in order for the work of God to continue. Can I tell you, you can't outgive God? Now, I'm not here to talk about finances, although I am in a sense. What you do and what you give is between you and God. But can I tell you, you can't outgive God. You can never outgive God. Don't ever listen to the teaching that says you give to God and he'll give you back seven times. We don't believe that here. We don't teach that here. What we believe is you can never outgive God. You give to God what you agree with God that you're going to give. Give it joyfully, happily, not begrudgingly, and allow God to bless your life as you serve him. But the work had to be done and it needed the people to respond. Can I just tell you some good news? We'd like some good news. Who'd like good news? When we built this building with everything, it was well over £1 million. Do you know how much we own as of today on a mortgage on this property? £30,000. That sounds to me like a good God, doesn't it? I think we should have more than a woo. God has provided for us in ways that we can never imagine. And do you know why? Because people have faithfully given to this church. You know, once, I wasn't going to say this, but I just said, a lady came to our church and she was an elderly lady. And she said, I want to give you some money. And some of you know this story. She wasn't from our church. She didn't come to our church. And we were in the other room, actually. And some of you will know her. And she came into our drop-in. We did a drop-in. She said, I'd like to give you some money for the church. I went, oh, that's lovely. Thank you. I was thinking she wanted to give me £10 or £20 or something like that. And she said, yeah, I'll give you some money next week. I went, that's lovely. Thank you. Didn't think any more of it. She turns up and she gives me two cheques worth over £61,000. From a lady that just didn't come to our church but felt that she should just invest in this church. And that enabled us to start the building work that we did here. We can't outgive God. But what we do have in our pockets, what God has given us, we need to use God to bless God's work. And it's really important that we do that. You know what? The more generous we are, the more generous God will be to us. But I'm not saying give God to whatever you give him, he'll give you back seven times, okay? I'm not saying that. Because sometimes people do that. They think, I've got £100 and God will give me back £700. Doesn't always work like that, let me just tell you. Just you give to God what you've agreed and what he places on your heart. So, rebuilding the nation. Nehemiah chapter 7 served two purposes. And the first part was to detail who was available in the city. There was find out the names of everybody that was willing to come and live in the city, that was willing to come and serve in the city, that was willing to come and protect the city, that was willing to come and worship in the city. In other words, to be part of the family. And part of what we're doing is we're asking people, are you still part of the family? Some people aren't coming back to church. They've decided they're not coming back. They're not part of our family anymore. They've decided that. Some people desperately want to be here but can't because they're unwell. But they're still our family. And we've got other family that don't even live in Redditch anymore that connect with us online, which is great. We've got some new family. And we'll continue to have new family. But do you know what is really important for me as a senior leader here is to know who's part of the family. Because we need to build together. And we need to come back together. And if you're not coming back for any reason that other than you just, if you can't come back, it's different. But if you can come back, we need you back. We want you back. We want you to help us rebuild. But also, it was to take those people and to start to rebuild and to see what God wanted to do for the future. to start investing people, to start bringing the word of God to those people, to start inputting the people and for the people to get beyond the dream and the vision. So Nehemiah's vision was not just his concern and responsibility as alone. This is something that had to be pursued by Ezra. Ezra is a priest, he's a scribe, and Nehemiah has to add him to the team. And hopefully soon I'll be adding somebody to the team that will help us build. Hopefully soon that may happen. It may or may not happen, but I'm praying it will. Really soon. People will be added to the team to help us build the vision and see the vision come about. People who will champion what God wants to do. Ezra championed the revival that took 12 years. Ezra said, you know what? I'm going to run with this. If it costs me my life, I'm going to see it happen. This bit of my life now, I'm going to dedicate it to see the vision happen. He championed it. And you know what? We need people today who will champion the vision. We need you to get behind it and to live it and to see it happen. We need it. This generation needs it. This church needs it. In Nehemiah chapter 7 to 12, we find that revival of the people came through reading of the law. There was confession of sin. There was a renewal of the covenant and the repopulation of Jerusalem. In chapter 8 of Nehemiah, we see the starting point for the renewal of the covenant. So we'll read just a few verses, if we can read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, the others who could understand. And the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood these men's names. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And he opened it and the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands, responded. What was that word we talked about earlier? Amen. What does amen mean? So be it, we agree, I'm definitely behind it. And they bowed their head, they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Ezra calls the people together, he calls a public assembly specifically, and he reads the word of God for 6 hours. Wow, 6 hours, no PA. Place is packed with people. But there's a problem. There's a number of things that are going to happen. The first problem is they all speak different languages. Whoa. How do we interpret the law, the word of God, when we all speak different language? Well, he chose those men, names I didn't read, to explain to people. So the law's read, they stop reading the law, and the people go and explain. Do you understand what's happening? Do you understand what God is saying? Do you understand what the requirement of the law is for you? Do you know what God is talking to you? And they talk about it. And while they talk about it, something else happens. The Spirit of God falls upon them. They understand how far they've fallen from God. How far, really, they've walked away from God. They have an understanding of their sin. And they start to weep. Nehemiah has to stop the reading, and Ezra have to stop the reading of the law to say, stop wailing, stop crying, stop feeling bad. This is not a day for us to repent from our sin. Now, this was an authentic move of God. Use the word authentic. This was a real move of God. It wasn't contrived, and Nehemiah and Ezra didn't want to contrive this day. They didn't want to make it happen so everybody would repent of their sin and then nothing happened inside. This was an authentic move of God. In fact, 3 weeks later, it happened where the whole nation mourned because of their sin. But that day was a day of celebration. That day was a day when they were going to thank God for building all. We built the walls. We've hung the gates. We've appointed the Levites. We've taken a collection for the ministry. We have all those things, and we are going to celebrate. And can I tell you, this is the time for this church to celebrate. We've got so much to celebrate. So look happy. If somebody next to you isn't happy, use the ministry of pinching the fingers and give them a pinch and say, look happy. This is a time to celebrate, church, of the goodness of God. Look how far we've come. Look at where we are today. Don't look at the circumstance. Look for the new growth. This is a time of celebration for us. And I want us to celebrate in this season as never before. But the reading of the law led to a national revival that impacted generations. I want to ask you, do you have a similar respect for the Word of God? I want us to remind us in 2022, if we want to be stronger, better together, this is important. This is what makes us distinctive above everybody else, the Word of God. The way we read it, the way we choose to live by it. When other people go, well, that's not relevant today, is it? It's 2,000 years old, it's full of dust. That's not relevant for us today. Oh, yes, it is. You see, if we're going to be stronger, better together, if we're going to build stronger, this word is vitally important for us. We can't choose some of it. The bits we like and the bits we don't like, we can ignore. If we want to impact generations to come, not just this generation, then what it says here is vitally important. This is our distinction. This is what we live by. And you know what? This is what we should be willing to die by. There are Christians in nations that we've talked about that can't get a Bible. If they own a Bible, they'll be put to death or they'll be thrown in prison. You know, you and I can go in at any version we like, NLT, NIV, whatever Bible we want, we can go and buy it, and we can choose to pick it up or read it or not. That shouldn't be an option for us. You know, in Scotland, there is a man called a Beadle. Anybody heard of this man called a Beadle? Beadle. So what happens is, at the start of a service, where you come through reception, there were that angel sitting there guarding the doors. He would walk in with the Bible. And as he walks in, everyone would stand out of respect for the Word of God. He would walk through the people, he would come round, he would come up on the stage, he would stand behind the lectern, he would place the Word of God in, he would open it, and the minister would come and stand behind it. And then the people would take their seats. Why? Because they highly respected the Word of God. And we've got to bring the respect for God's word. It is the living word. We live by it. And this church, we have to die by it. And that means sometimes there are choices in the word of God that says we don't behave in a certain way. We don't live in a certain way. Because God's asked us not to. Other people might do it. Everyone's doing it. But we're not. Why? Because it's the distinctive part that makes us different from the world. And the reading of the law. And this is why in Christian churches today we have worship styles that we do, and why we hold the word of God in high esteem. Not the person that brings it, the word of God. We're just ordinary human people that are trying to do our very best to bring the word of God and explain what it means. Sometimes we get it wrong. But the word of God is so important for us in 2022, if we're going to be stronger, better together. Find ways to get back into the word and study the word of God. It is so important. The first thing Ezra does is to pray. How did Nehemiah do all that he did? Does anybody want to suggest, after the five sermons before, about how Nehemiah was able to do what he did? Anybody want to give me a suggestion? He prayed. We've talked about uplifting prayer. This Wednesday, we have an online prayer meeting. We normally do one from here. We're not going to broadcast it. We're having a Zoom prayer meeting. We want you to join us. We're going to be praying into situations in the church that's going to be happening. We want you to be part of what we're praying for. You can join us by Zoom. Jane will be leading that. If you need to have the information, it's on the notice sheet. Please join us on Wednesday. So, I'm not going to talk too long today. You say thank you. That's a real blessing, Robin. Amen. Let me just get this. Oh, I'll have to walk back up the stairs. What God did amongst those people was an authentic, can you use the word authentic? Authentic move of God. When I was preparing this sermon, I went and bought myself some jeans. Like them. On the back of these jeans, it says vintage wash. That even God could use me. Vintage. My wife chose them for me, actually. No, she didn't. But it has the word authentic on the label. When I saw that word, I thought, God, what are you saying to me? Because I'd had this word authentic. Bring the word authentic. An authentic move of God. God had given me this message to bring. And I'm reading a pair of jeans for a vintage person. I've been waiting for an authentic move of God for years. It's coming. It's coming. God is preparing us for something that he's never done amongst us before. And I'm believing for it and I'm getting ready for it. And I want to help prepare you to get ready for it. Do you want it? Do you? Seriously? Because it means we have to live an authentic lifestyle. We won't be perfect. My wife will tell you I'm far from perfect. But I want to live that lifestyle that enables God to move in my life and in this place. But it doesn't depend on me. Thank God. Everything depends on him. He brings revival. But we need to prepare our hearts and we need to get ready. I've been a minister back in this church for 22 years and I'm waiting for it. But there are things that Esther and I have prayed about over the years and we've believed for. And I think this season is coming. Now, it will bring a consciousness of sin. There will be a move where God moves in this place and people will cry. People will weep. People will understand that their lifestyle isn't right. Now, that's not our place to tell them, okay? Let me just tell you now. We don't judge people in this church. If you're coming to this church for whatever reason, we don't judge. People have a second chance here and a third chance. But God alone judges. But what we do is we encourage people. And when the Spirit of God moves in this place and people cry, and they will, or laugh, whatever happens, this spirit without measure that Esther came and talked about, God will do his work. You know, the revivals that happened, some of you won't even remember or know anything about the Welsh revival. Some of you weren't even a twinkle in your mum and dad's eye. Most of us, apart from Andrew, weren't here for the Wesleyan revival. The Scottish revival, the Hebridean revival. Do you know in the Welsh revival what happened? The miners, most of the Welsh guys were miners. That was about this tall. No. sorry. Their job was working in the mines. They walked for hours to work in the mines. They would work hard. They would come home. They would drink all the money away. They lived pretty awful lives. And their language was probably very colourful. In fact, it was. Do you know what happened in the Welsh revival? These men fell down. These hard men fell down in the presence of God and repented of their sin. They were crying like babies. And the Spirit of God moved upon them, and from the inside out they changed completely. They were different people. Their wives didn't recognise them. Their children didn't recognise them. Their dog, they no longer kicked the dog when they came in there. But you know, one of the things that they couldn't, the pits came to a close. They couldn't work the pits. Do you know why? Because the horses couldn't understand them anymore. The pit ponies didn't know whether to go left or right because of the expletives that they stopped swearing. They had to teach the horses new language in order that they could get the coal out of the mines. And the horses weren't used to not being whipped and being kicked and punched. Because the whole demeanour of lives changed. And there are so many people that are broken today, that are of addictions, that behave badly, that do bad things, that when the Spirit of God comes upon them, they're going to change. And we're going to change. Do you want an authentic move of God? I said to you a few months ago, and I'm not going to ask you to do this now, because I'm going to ask you to think about it, because I'm not going to manipulate the situation. But I said to some of you a few weeks ago, if you're for what we're doing here and getting behind the vision and believing that God wants to do things, I asked you to stand. Most of you stood. Obviously, if it's your first time here today, you didn't. Most of you stood. Some of you at home stood, said, yeah, I'm going to get behind it. Now what I'm saying to you is, this is the next level we're going to now. If you want an authentic move of God, are you in? Are you in the city? Are you part of the ministry? Are you part of the family? Are you ready to get yourself prepared? That when you come to church on a Sunday morning, you don't just get out of bed and just about make it through the door before Pastor Robin does an introduction. You've prepared your heart. You spent time with the Lord praying. You're reading your Bible. You're seeking his face. Because it's not going to happen unless we prepare our hearts. But we can be stronger, better, together. And I believe we can. That's what I have. That's the message I have. Not going to be easy, but it's going to be better. Who wants it? Who wants it? Lumi, would you come and just... And so I'm not going to ask you to... You just tinkle for me on the piano? I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a minute. And I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit just to come and speak. Speak right into our heart. And then if you feel that God has said anything to us, to speak to us today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and stand and take the microphone and just share. If you feel God is saying something, I'm going to ask you to place your hand upon your heart. It's a long distance between our head and our heart sometimes. It can be a long distance, 12 inches, but it could be a mile away. Father, I do ask that you will speak clearly into this church, into me, into every member, every part of the Oasis family. Father, we're pleading with you, move again. As you've moved in the Wesleyan times, in the Welsh revivals, in the Hebridean revivals, across this world, in this little place called Redditch, in this little town that has so many problems, so many broken people, so many challenges. Father, we're asking today for an authentic move, not contrived by me or any of the leaders, or the worship team, but by you. Lord, would you step into our history, into our time? Lord, would you do what only you can do? So only you can bring revival. And Father, I'm believing for the miraculous to be released, for the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. I'm praying for all those things. But Lord, I'm praying that what happens here will touch not just this generation, but generations to come. Lord, when I'm gone, you've called me home. When the leaders that have stood today, maybe you've called them home. That this place will be stronger than ever and generations will be blessed because of what this generation does today and the decisions that we make today in our heart and what we choose to do. Lord, we're nothing special. We acknowledge that completely. But what we are, Lord, is we want to pursue the vision and follow you. Thank you for every faithful person here, people of integrity, people that love God and love you. I pray a blessing upon them, Lord, and their families. And I pray, Lord, that those here that are desperately to see their families come into the kingdom, Lord, we pray them in the kingdom and they will be part of the kingdom purposes today. In Jesus' name.